It is Wednesday, the 10th of November. This is episode 68 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along to another episode. I'm Chris, and I am again joined by Ian.
Good evening.
Hello. I've had a good day today. What about you?
It's been so-so.
Yeah?
I've just rocked the badminton court. Can't believe I said rocked. That is just so wrong.
Rocked and rolled.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely rolled.
Admiral Multicar. Bargain. What? Been looking at car insurance today.
And?
Yeah, Admiral Multi Car. If you've got more than one car, go for it. It's brilliant.
I'm with Admiral already, but I just have one car.
Well, you don't need Multi Car then.
Is that your pick of the week?
Yeah. What a tech pick.
We've just debated it with no picks of the week, and there we go.
So yeah, I've had been a good day and saved myself quite a lot of money.
So oh, well, my car's cost me a lot of money.
Yes, I'm sure mine will in March.
No, it's just done its MOT and brake pads and all sorts of nonsense.
Now, you said...
I did its tax disc yesterday. I've got its car insurance next month.
Spending money on that, you weren't going to spend money on an Apple.
Yeah, but I didn't spend as much to get it through its MOT.
So the air's still on the cards, is it?
It shall be mine.
When you say it shall be, does that mean you've placed the order?
Not yet.
But you've been close?
Well, I'm relying on Shaquille for this because he knows somebody that works in Apple. And maybe the guy listens to the podcast. Reply to Shaq's texter because I really want a discount.
Quite right too, yeah.
And if not, he might have a niece at uni, which I'm sure is highly illegal, but I want to rock that.
It can't be highly illegal. I mean, you're hardly breaking any criminal laws.
I want to rock that 15% discount.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean... I know I keep egging you, but you just do it. Right. Let's get on with our stories. Hopefully we'll get through today. We are going to start today with Times paywall fail. So
fail wall.
Yeah, it's actually quite a tongue twister. So basically we've had some figures released by the Murdoch family trying to big up their new firewall that's, you know, you have to pay for their content now.
Is this in stains by any chance?
Big up. I'm not sure I've used that in everyday phrases yet.
I'm just worried that I've said rock and you've said big up. What's first time down, listeners, man? Will be thinking, no, I better not say
we've got with a bit of a brat, yeah.
This is almost bordering in racism. Right, go on.
So they've released some figures trying to big up their, I'll say it again, trying to make it sound like their paywall is working. When in most people have sort of taken the same figures to read that it really hasn't. I mean, this is a site that used to gain 30 million odd visitors.
Yes.
And now is, I don't know, what's the actual figure now?
Well, they reckon it's 100,000, but then 100,000 seems to have a mixture of people that were already paying for Times or already bought the iPad app. So it's all a bit confusing. But Murdoch family.
So if they've lumped everyone together and all they can come up with is 105,000.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm. Doesn't sound too good.
And fair enough, they are obviously making money from that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But I mean, is it enough to cover the costs? I don't know.
There's speculation that they've also bundled in the people that they're not making money off, as in the one that's gone for the 30-day trial or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's still early days.
It's early days, but I mean, I know one of the things that they said was that the journalists are delighted with this, but I know other, and this is the problem, that nothing's quotable, but I know other newspapers were saying that journalists at the Times are basically livid at this because obviously their stories aren't getting the coverage that they used to get. You know, you write a story, you've got this closed wall, you know, people are reading it and commenting on it, but it's not the same as when something goes viral and everybody sees it.
Yeah, I mean, I still think I agree with the Times in that something has to happen, you know, in general.
Yeah.
But maybe they've been a bit too severe with this. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. But
they're still early deals as well, aren't they? I mean, the only time this is going to work is when everyone does it.
No, I mean, and the Guardian was kind of almost like tooting the horn around us saying, ah, there you go, it doesn't work. Yeah. It's like, but how much loss are you making a day? That's not sustainable going forward.
And the Guardian, you know, sell their app once and they don't get any more money from it then.
Well, that's changing, actually.
Is it?
Yeah. Actually, that's maybe something we should add it in. So I will. They are from December bringing out a new app for iPhone, which will be 6 months for $2.99. Or if you want to buy it for a year, it's $3.99. So not a lot of money. I mean, £4 for a year's access.
But at
to the
least,
Guardian.
I mean, it makes perfect. I mean, that makes much more sense. You know, every year you get that same figure coming in. Then, I know it's not a lot of money, but it's better than just one off and then forever. I mean, do you have to update, or is it? If you've already got the app, it's fine.
No, you will actually have to get a new app. It's not going to update from the app that you've currently got. And they've also said that separately they're developing an iPad app, which seems a bit odd. So does that mean I'm paying twice?
Yeah, you're going to have to pay twice. But then again, like you say, £4 it's per year, you can put up with that. I think.
Exactly.
It seems about the kind of rate that you'd imagine. Maybe.
Well, it seems like a dip in the toe in the water to actually see, well, how many people can we convert from free to... You know, if we get 1 million, does that still keep us engaged? Does it still keep things getting shared around? Does it still keep an audience?
There's a massive balancing act because 30 million visitors to your website is surely more valuable in advertising and all the other bits than 100,000 people paying, you know, a quid.
Must be.
Skyfire, which is a service that converts Flash video into HTML5 video, has now been approved for the iPhone.
And is out. And has been taken down.
Has it?
Yes. So it was approved by Apple. And the way it works is if you visit a site that's got Flash on it, then the Flash content is sent to Skyfi servers. They convert it and then send it back again. So it takes a few seconds or whatever. Only works with video, doesn't work with games, doesn't work with some adverts, etc. And also some sites are blocking it, like Hulu. And
so it's
others.
A clever video transcoder, basically.
Yes. But hours after it was launched, it was pulled from the App Store, but not by the Apple themselves, but by the developers, because too many people downloaded it and it was stressing out their servers. You know, they couldn't convert the video. And I know somebody's bought it and a lot of the video content isn't converting.
Well, I mean, it must take a massive server farm.
Exactly. And I'm, I've got to be honest, I'm still not really convinced by the need for it. I don't visit a lot of sites that need this, you know, that need Flash.
That's fine for if you you're a person that does visit a site, well,
exactly,
with Flash,
maybe I've changed my browsing habits.
Yeah, you probably
you
have.
No, it's just one of these things. So I labelled it a stunt, but then they've announced today that it got $1 million in revenue in the first weekend.
Good stunt.
Yeah,
I'm all for them.
Indeed,
I'd jump a bus for that much money.
It doesn't have to be an awful small bus.
Oh dear.
Oh, straight away I'm thinking of Trumpton. Anyway.
Like you're singing. Virgin, I'm trying to think of the phrase. But anyway, they've announced TiVo boxes for their service.
Yeah, so they announced earlier in the year that they were bringing TiVo. And TiVo has gone through a bit of a relaunch in the States.
Yeah, I know. We've talked about TiVo before. So TiVo released an old box which was to rave reviews. Everyone loved it. But their latest box in the States wasn't so good.
No.
And they've been talking in the States about a sort of a cable equivalent box that, you know, works across cable providers, but they've never released it. I don't know whether they got hung up in rights or something.
I don't know either. I just know that the reviews of the new one, it was complaining just how sluggish it was, and it was Flash-based, and they just felt it wasn't the best.
So are we going to see a good box? We don't know many details, do we?
No. I mean, it's going to have 1 terabyte of storage.
Which is huge.
It's going to have 3 tuners.
3? Crikey.
Yep. Well, I think the current Virgin HD box is 3. And the one that was most interesting for me, so and seemingly because it's Flash based, they're going to have apps on it as well, so you can get, you know, Facebook and Twitter and iPlayer and other digital services. So they're going to have an app platform in there. The one I thought was really interesting was you're actually going to have a fiber optic connection separate from your Virgin Broadband fiber optic connection. So you're
having 2 cables coming into your house.
Yes, and also if you're downloading content on your Virgin Media box, it's not affecting your broadband connection at the same time, which is very different to what Sky's proposing with their on-demand service, which goes through your broadband connection. So very interesting. And similarly, they're talking about it'll be out by the end of the year, so not long.
I wonder whether that's going to be like an upgrade package. I assume it would have to be for existing.
I think it is. And
because they need to come out and put a new cable in for one thing.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a couple of things. There's this new box, and there's also the 100 meg service, which is launching next month. And I now have my 50 meg service.
I was going to say, have you been tempted enough?
Well, they don't have 100 in Glasgow yet.
But it's surely coming.
It's next year. So I'm currently paying £38 a month. And I get 50 meg down. And to be fair, the engineer turned up and he was late. He was supposed to be between 1 and 6 on Friday, and he turned up at 6:45. But fair play to him. When he did the speed test, it said, it's only 39 meg. I can do better than that. And he had 3 more goes before he got it to 49.
Good for him. Because I'm sure there's plenty of engineers out there that wouldn't have been asked.
Well, Friday night. I mean, he got a cup of tea and a little chalky biscuit. I'm sure that made all the difference.
He stayed for the biscuit.
The speed has been very impressive.
Yeah, so is it a different world again?
It's fast. The only little niggle for me, because I wanted to get the 5 meg upload, and it's not in Glasgow yet. So it's only 1.6.
Oh, that's slow. But yeah, it does. I mean, that, to be honest, it's still the big difference in, you know, well, if you use internet up and down.
That's the bit I really wanted out of it. So I was like,
is that coming as well?
Yeah.
So you're just going to have to be a bit patient, basically.
Yeah. Something I'm really good at.
Yes, I can tell.
But the real world tests that I've done have been very impressive.
So what have you been doing to stretch it? Can we talk about anything?
I downloaded some Linux distributions from newsgroups.
Of course you did, yes.
And I was getting...
You've got Red Hat versions 1 to 10.
Yeah, one of them was a 720p version. Came in at about 8.5 gig and it was in under the hour. It's very impressive.
An hour?
Yeah. Well under. And I thought I'd better try some torrents. I mean,
have to leave that Red Hat for going all night.
I've not used torrents for ages. And there was a torrent yesterday. It was 3.2 gig, and that was 20 something minutes, and that wasn't full speed. And it was just like blew my neck.
Yes, be careful with your torrents, though.
But you do get throttled during the day.
Yeah. So how much difference does it make?
If you download, I think it's 4 or 5 gig. And they do throttle you back to 5 meg.
Really?
So if you were doing downloads, you will notice it. But to be honest, if you're throttled back to that, and then you were jumping on and doing Skyping and internet and gaming, you're not going to notice, because they don't affect like your ping rates or anything like that.
Does it you're free to go whatever overnight, are you?
Yes, during the week from 11 to basically 4 in the afternoon through the week. And at the weekends, I think it's from 8 in the morning to 11.
Okay. And have they got any fair usage on it? Other than this, I guess, whatever you said during the day? Okay. No. So, recommended?
I think a lot of the people that are using it get annoyed because they say it's unlimited, but then they throttle you. Mm. And it's like, but... You know the restrictions.
I can see how that is annoying, but yeah.
Yeah, but 99.9% of the people that are complaining are downloading illegal stuff, so...
And you're still getting 5 meg down, which is pretty much my full speed.
I always feel when people start moaning, I just want to say, shut your hole, to be honest.
Yeah, you wait till it bugs you.
Well, I know what I'm signing up for. The thing that bugged me before was getting an IP address in Ireland. That bugged me. I told the engineer that on Friday night and he chuckled. Yeah. Don't laugh. So yes, I'm happy, but it is more expensive. You know, I'm but at the moment I feel I'm getting what I'm paying for.
Good.
Especially when I get that 5 meg upload. Yeah.
Oh, crikey.
You're hosting.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, here come the bump, bump, bump stories.
Well, I was gonna say it's onto a speed round.
There we go. The speed round sounds much more professional. just quick update stories, really. Xmarx has now had a blog posting to say that it's officially been saved. I think we mentioned this before, but they're going to release free and premium options for Xmarx. They've got a buyer, and they say thank you to everyone who signed up to their petition or statement of intent or whatever. So that's good. We have had an update on the Google situation with the information they captured via their Street View cars, that they have, instead of being completely let off the hook, they've been told that they've committed a significant breach, but they're not going to face any outcome from their collecting data that they shouldn't have, other than that they will have an official audit of their data protection practices.
And similarly, the people that actually went and re-looked at them after they announced that they'd captured password and stuff was non-technical people. So well done, everybody.
So, but they have now been cleared to delete that data, which is all they wanted to do from the very start.
Indeed.
We have had Skype 5 is now onto the Mac as well.
Yeah, now, so if you remember, I was really looking forward to it so we could do all the group video nonsense. But oh my goodness.
Which you can do.
And you can do it. But
it's about the only good bit about it.
Yeah, I mean, the UI, and I know I complained about the UI before, but somebody really likes their white space now in Skype.
And PC is even, I don't know if it's even worse, but it's that Skype user interface is going downhill fast. People, whoever's in charge of it, doesn't have a flipping clue.
No. I think,
I don't say that lightly because it is really poor.
I think back to when I used IM services and it was just a little thin app. And then, you know, Messenger started bloating up and then you would move somewhere else and all that kind of stuff. And Skype just was just a little thin menu. You could see who was there. You could right-click and do what you want. Or there's a little icon you could press and call and do a video. Now I've got a big thing that takes up, you know, vast amounts of space, even
and
chats.
It covers up all my chat, so I have to actually go and figure out how to dig out the chat, which is not particularly straightforward, as I keep moaning.
Anyway, there's no alternative for you, so...
There and I still love it.
Yeah.
As a service, I just wish their UI was about 10 years older.
Already, people are coming out with hacks, you know, so you can just go in the background and it fixes all the white space stuff in the Mac.
But it's nice to be able to share your screen across multiple people and share, you know, multiple.
Oh yes, I am looking forward to when there's more than two of us on and we can do the old video nonsense now.
Yep.
And we can, because the video makes a big difference.
Yes, it does.
Just so I can, like, you know, I can almost like tweet your chubby cheeks remotely.
You can see me sticking my finger up at you.
Hey.
Ministry of Sound have suspended its file sharing action that it was going to carry out against people who had downloaded some of their albums. They say because BT has failed to preserve the details that they asked it to preserve. And BT have pretty much come out and said, look.
Shut your
hole. We keep it for 90 days and then we delete it. That is our data retention policy. You knew about that. So anyway, they've had to sort of go away with their tail between their legs.
Yeah.
And now they can't go and chase those 20,000 people. So if you...
But it's only, seemingly only made them more determined to chase after more.
Hmm.
Good luck with that.
But in a, sort of along the same lines, BT and TalkTalk have gone to the courts asking for a judicial review of the Digital Economy Act. So this is the act that... puts in position all these kind of three strike rules on downloading and gives the music industry a lot of power to try and take away people's internet. And they've been granted the right to go and appeal that.
Yes. So and this was just announced today. There will be a judicial review. They expect that to take place in February next year. Obviously, BT and particularly TalkTalk have been against this from word go. They've been
because they're so, I mean that their whole business is not designed around giving user data to people whenever they ask. It would take hours of your time.
And we also saw from a few weeks ago with ACS law, you know, just how scary it can be when you are named as doing something which might not be true, and then it leaks out. You know, so you could be, you know, your neighbours are all laughing at you now because potentially you've been named as downloading, you know, a music file or some pornography or whatever, and it's not you. Anyway, BT spokesman said tonight it's important for everyone involved, copyright owners, consumers, ISPs and institutions like libraries and universities to have certainty on the law before proceeding, because we're focusing on ISPs, but it's not just ISPs.
No, it's anyone who gives out their internet connection.
Yep. You know, so cafes, pubs, etc., are all affected. And obviously, and I always want to say the British pornographic industry, but it's the British phonographic industry.
I read that as pornographic.
I know you would.
It's because I is illiterate.
You said that quite convincingly as well.
Thank you.
So they're not happy, and they believe that this challenge against the act is misconceived and will fail.
Oh, I'm disappointed that it isn't the pornographic industry. Never mind.
However, Jim Killick, not Pillock, but Jim Killick, the executive director of Internet Freedom Organization, the Open Rights Group, has welcomed the judicial review of the legal mess caused by the Digital Economy Act. The act is being challenged on grounds including privacy and human rights. It is unworkable and needs to be scrapped. I mean, the main angle the two ISPs are taking is basically that it's breaking EU legislation.
Yeah, so they're saying existing EU legislation has been overwritten by this and it shouldn't have been.
Yep. Which sounds a bit of a technicality.
Is it about a year
than...
ago? Was it around Christmas last year that we were talking about this all coming through and couldn't believe it was going to happen and then it just did? Or was it just before the election? I can't remember.
It just did. And then the Lib Dems says, vote for us and we'll repeal it. And then 3 months later they went, oh, hold on a minute. We've got some power. Let's not repeal that.
It's more the fact they found out what it means to be in power as far as...
Oh, they're so stuffed.
Well, it's not there. I think if they'd been actually in power, then I think they probably would have been able to manage things like that.
But I don't think so.
They are linchpins.
Tory in disguise.
Ooh, a story I thought had disappeared. We're having one on Twitter and one on Facebook.
Yes, and one...
And one on YouTube.
One on YouTube as well. The monarchy is now on Facebook. What a waste of money.
Can I poke the Queen?
Assumingly you can't.
They don't let you poke her?
Yeah. But I'd...
What about Fergie?
I think plenty have poked her. Anyway.
Uh-oh.
Broomsh. I was going to start talking about Princess Diana then, but people get upset when I do that.
Yes, it's too
Michael
soon.
Jackson.
Too soon.
I seem to remember getting criticised in a previous podcast. there's a monarchy page on Facebook, along to go with their Flickr account, or Twitter account, or YouTube account.
So you can like them for all to see.
Yeah. The quicker we sack them, the better.
Said like a true Scot.
It's nothing about being a true Scot. I don't understand when we're going through all this money-saving exercise why the royal family weren't in there as well. And we get rid of like 10% of them.
You just want to wipe out 10% of the royal family?
Yeah.
I'm sure people have gone for jail for saying things like that.
But why not? It's all the little hanger-on ones that don't actually do very much. Sod off. You're not a royal anymore.
Right then. Now, in a moment of tight headline writing genius, I've written here, Sheep Wars, Bar Armageddon. How good is that? Is it good?
I was almost tempted just to get the tumbleweed sound effect out.
Might have to be rolled out. So last week we talked about FireSheep, and that was the hacking tool that you could download into your Firefox and quickly snoop people's Facebook accounts, basically, on open networks.
Yes.
Well, Black Sheep is on the market now, and that is a fireworks add-on, which is basically... sat there to check whether anyone on the network you're on has got FireSheep working.
Mm.
And we'll ping up a warning. So basically the two sheeps working against each other there in a kind of comical way, but in quite serious implications. But that's available from, it's called the Scalar website. I don't know if that's how you say it, but that's how I'm going to say it.
How did
Zscaler?
I was going to say it's Zscaler.
Why Zscaler? Anyway, well, so you
even,
go to Zscaler.
Even just so people listening would have a chance to actually work out where it was.
www.zscaler.com. So zscaler.com/blacksheep.html. So if you do spend time surfing on open network anywhere, then that's a good one to go and pick up, purely because I think FireSheep, how many downloads did it have? Something like 200,000.
Yeah, I think it was 100,000 in the first day.
So it's quite a lot of potential out there at the moment.
And I never really use open networks. I never, unless I'm travelling. And all I'll say is my Firefox is ready. Be warned, Bristol Airport. I will hunt you down.
Of course you mean with Black Sheep rather than with FireSheep, because FireSheep would actually be a little bit illegal.
I still remember sitting in Bristol Airport years ago when it was all the Bluetooth nonsense going around. Switched on the phone and there was like 20 Bluetooth devices just free and easy. And you were like, oh dear.
Shall I have a peek around?
Oh, glory days. Glory days.
Rockmelt. Now, this is your story, and I sort of looked at the video, but if you could explain what it is, that would help me.
Well, I'll just read what I've written. It's a social browser that lives in the cloud. Next story.
Lives in the cloud. So do you install it as an application?
So it's based in Chromium. You install, it's another browser for your PC, Mac, Linux, whatever. And the first, when I read through it, I was like, this is just Flock, but a different name. So it's based on Chromium, because they say they just can't believe that the speed to get out of that browser. And I think many people are now looking at Chromium as the kind of almost default. If you're going to take an app, a browser app, and want to customize it, Chromium seems to be the place to start with now, mm-hmm. unlike Firefox. It also uses Facebook as an authentication. So you actually sign into Facebook to use the app. And in the left-hand column, you see all your Facebook friends. So you can easily see when they post something. You can easily post something to them. You can chat for them directly in the browser. You can mail them, etc. So very socially aware, based on Facebook. And I've got a new concept in bookmarks as well. On the right-hand side, you can see tweets coming in as push updates. But if you bookmark a page, so if I bookmark Digital Outbox, and who wouldn't?
I've done it.
Then it would appear as a little icon on your right hand side, and if there's a new post, you actually see, oh, there's a new post on that. So it's trying to actually tell you when new content's been delivered to your favourite sites. And the interesting thing, the kind of cloud angle, is that the actual how you customize it and what you've got and what you've opened is all saved up in the cloud. So as you move from home to work, or from different machines in the home, or move to your friend's machine and you sign in, it should give you the same environment that you've used elsewhere.
So long as you've got Chromium,
yes.
Rockmelt installed.
Yes.
Okay, so I mean, from my point of view, I was trying to work out what it was, whether it was a browser inside a browser, but actually it is just a dedicated browser it's almost like it's got a set of inbuilt extensions that are already on.
Yes, because they've also changed the search engine is based on Google, but does a bit more. So it was bringing back some visual search results. But about 12 hours after they announced this came out of, you know, I think it was very much in a closed beta, and people maybe seen it but weren't allowed to talk about it. 12 hours after it, Google announced their visual previewing service.
Put a preview pane in there,
which
it's,
is about
it's available
to,
now.
Yeah, so. And they've said that they've been kind of beta testing, but I'm sure they just rushed it out when they saw what Rockmelt was doing, because it's very, very similar.
You can tell that they haven't got it all sorted yet, because it's only against, you know, key results or whatever. It's not against every single result yet.
No,
I don't know if it's ever going to be down more, but some pages you see it's got sort of four preview pictures, and others it's not got any. So
I tagged this as Flock 2, and I saw some blog posts saying this isn't Flock 2. But I've not tried it because it's in a kind of closed beta.
I never saw Flock, so was it the same idea?
Flock was the same. It was built on the kind of Mozilla, and you could have, like, at the top was your Flickr photos, and at the side you could see like Facebook friends or whatever, and if you were, you could blog post from in it as well, so you could just drag your media from Flickr. But it all felt a bit tacked on and slower than the actual, you know, browser itself, mm-hmm. and it just always felt a better option for me. And a lot of, I think it got a limited traction, and the people that actually it clicked with, I think they liked it. But I just always felt you were behind, maybe, you know, Firefox releases.
Authentication with Facebook's a bit of a weird one for me. I don't think I'd want to give the company full on access to all my
no,
Facebook.
And to get access to the beta, you actually have to
sign your life away.
Yes, which I've done.
Cool. Let us know how it goes, or have you done? Was that your feedback?
No, I've not got it yet, so nothing's come through.
Okay, cool. Facebook this week have stabbed the knife in further onto Foursquare. So their check-in service that they've had used to just be that you could check someone in. Now they have got the additional elements of having sort of awards and rewards and vouchers.
That's in the US only, isn't it, at the moment?
I think it is in the US at the moment, yes. But then again, I think Foursquare was bigger in the US anyway.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah, so basically there's very little to differentiate the Facebook service from Foursquare. And seeing as that's Foursquare's entire business, it looks like could be a death knell.
And that was always a worry, because the mean, I think it was Foursquare and Gowalla were having a bit of a war, and Foursquare was saying, oh, we've got 3 million users, and Gowalla was just over 1 million, and they were looking much stronger. Then Facebook announced Places, and you're thinking, well, that's 500 million people now have the same opportunity.
And it adds all that social element of, you know, I don't know how it's, who knows how it's going to work on Facebook, because it's not something I'm particularly interested in, but I'm sure
I've seen some people doing it, you know. No, I've seen like Shaq doing it, and he checked in a few of us at work one day, and he was like, oh, I tried to check you in, it failed, and I went, yeah, well, I've turned it off. I don't want you checking me in wherever you want me to.
How can it let you check other people in? I think it's ridiculous.
But it's like, you know, myself and a colleague were in London, and we're having a joke because we're walking by one of the musicals, and I was like, but I could check you in right now in that musical. I could check you into the strip bar around the corner, and then your wife would be like, what the hell? And he went, that's really dangerous. I went, I know. So yeah. that's why these opt-in, opt-out options are actually very important. So when they roll out a new service and by default opt you in, that's why everybody gets annoyed.
And the thing is, they never let you opt out straight away. It's always a delay of like a week or two. Yep.
And it's never very obvious.
It means that you've probably forgotten in the 2 weeks.
Well, a lot of it as well. I mean, if you don't keep up to date with, you know, our podcast, basically.
when we keep moaning about these things.
Yeah, but if you don't, I mean, and the vast majority of users don't. And I think that's why it becomes such a big issue. I mean, the other story that we dropped this week was the kind of Gmail trying to stop Facebook importing Gmail contacts. And Facebook just
the other way around. Gmail trying to stop Facebook using them to...
Oh, did I say it the wrong way around? Sorry. Yeah. And Facebook basically just said, sod off, we'll just go and use your download service instead. You can block us all you like. And now Google have put up a message on the download service saying, do you really want to give away your data?
To a company that never gives it out, is it in there forever and you can never, you know, do it.
Yeah. But Facebook are like, they are the kind of nasty Microsoft of the Web 2.0 world. They are the kind of ones that are, but I think they've got the market share now. They can do what they like.
They're a little bit sinister, but what can you do? You can't live without them.
Well, they're talking about there was an article through the week, remember, and Microsoft were trying to do their passport. Your Hotmail account or whatever, your identity with them was basically your online identity everywhere, and it failed. Well, Facebook are now trying to do the same thing, and I think
it only worked across Microsoft sites, and it still does, to be fair.
Yeah, but I think Facebook have got they've got a good chance just because the amount of user base they've got.
Yep, you're right. And there people are plenty of sites that are doing it now.
Aye, people can't ignore it now.
Nope.
Anyway, a couple of goodies.
So, big, I get this is going to be the biggest games story that we're going to have probably for another couple of years, I would have thought, because it's the biggest peripheral that we're going to see, biggest bit of tech. The Kinect is now out in shops.
Well, unless you include the Rock Band guitars at £250.
Oh, but they're pretty good, aren't they?
Why I'm saying Shaq's going to pick one up next week, I think.
But I still don't think that's as revolutionary as... Kinect is. So Kinect, we've talked about it plenty before, the tool that lets you control your Xbox with just your voice and your body, so you don't need a controller. And there was a lot of skepticism around, and I think there still is a little bit, thinking that it just wasn't going to work. But actually, all the reviews have been pretty shocked and pretty blown away by the technology, really. Now they're saying it works. You do need quite a big room, especially if you want to use it with two people. But in general, it's good. The lag is manageable, and the games that have been released with it are, there's a couple of howlers, but on the whole, they're kind of around the 7 out of 10 mark, which is not bad. So I don't know what your thoughts were.
I think it's a good bit of tech. It's just... It's an area of games that I've got to be honest doesn't really appeal much to me. In the same way as the Wii didn't. It was great, but didn't click enough.
I can feel already that yes, that's going to be the same. Yet it interests me enough. Maybe it's just the tech angle of it. The only reason I haven't got one already is probably because there's no game there, which I think I could get away with playing without being completely chastised.
I mean, the thing is, it's out today, and there were quite a lot of queues for it as well, which for a device at £130, it's not... No, it's,
so this is our big hardware release. We're not going to get a console forever.
You know? No. I mean, you had the PS3, the Move last month as well, And the sales figure for that across the world are actually very good. They're up at, I'm sure it was like 4 or 5 million.
They did a very gently release on that.
Yeah. But so I think the price was also, yeah, the price was also a lot lower as well. You know, so I think it was coming in about 30 quid. And then if you wanted another little peripheral, it was 20 quid. And if you want the camera, it was 40 quid. And you could buy a pack for 100 or whatever. It was all
bitty.
It was all bitty, but I think.
But it added up, yeah.
I think as well, they've got quite a lot of game support, and you know, they're talking about, you know, patching some of the older games to support it, and it seems to have a fair, you know, when they're talking about sales figures of 3-4 million, that's a lot of people, you know, for a peripheral, you know, within 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
To be fair, what the things I've been, you know, hearing around are that the PlayStation Move feels like Wii Plus. You know, it's that high fidelity next generation controller and precision
and buttons.
And all the benefits that that's going to bring with it.
And buttons. So they're a different, it's a different product to Kinect. It's not the same thing.
So that, and I think that's why people are like quite amazed by the feeling of getting involved in a game without having to, you know, touch anything. It's it's definitely an interesting concept, and I'm tempted. I don't know if you're tempted at all, but I'm definitely tempted.
I've got to be honest that the tech does impress me, but I'm not. There's not one bit of me that wants to buy it.
No, but
I think it's the, as I said, when the Wii came out, a lot of people bought a Wii. I even had a £10 bet with somebody that I wouldn't buy one. They were like, you can't resist. And I loved playing Wii Sports, but I knew I wouldn't, you know, I knew
it just
I
wasn't going to, yeah. And
I wasn't going to come, and it was down.
We're definitely not social enough people.
Well, it's just not that.
It makes a lot of sense if you have a lot of people around all the time.
I think so, and if you've got a family, I think it's a no-brainer, because that's how we, you know, sold so much for a family of all ages. Yeah, it was just gold.
Watching my mum playing Raven Rabbits was awesome.
and that's why I think it will sell very well. And also the fact there is no, I mean, we've seen the rebadged Xbox this year. That's the closest that's to a new console you're going to get. Probably, I think, for maybe even three, 4 years. I think they're going to milk it.
I wouldn't put it that far.
I still think they're going to milk this for a bit longer.
Apparently it's a very impressive, solid piece of kit as well. It's not cheap. But then again, it's not cheap. So
I'd just be very surprised if, like, you know, if you're talking 2 years away, it means probably next year's E3, they would have to announce it.
Yeah,
I think maybe you are right. I just can't see that happening next year. I can't see them actually
as much as anything because there's not a lot of need to.
There's not a lot of need. I mean, graphically, nobody's complaining about the graphics anymore. It's all much of a. They're almost at a
developers
level.
Developers are still getting to grips with it.
Yeah, and I think as well, it's just the cost. I can't see people running out and spending £400
for again because. Other than 3D, which PlayStation 3 is already saying it's going
to
do.
Yep, and there's an option. I mean, there's an option in Call of Duty to turn on 3D in the Xbox 360 if your TV supports it.
Yeah, and I think the resolution of games now is such that it's as good as our TVs are going to be for a while.
I mean, that console generation that came out, it came out at the same time as HD. And I think for gamers, that was the main reason to get an HD telly rather than, you know, Sky HD.
100%, it made a massive difference. Didn't it?
And I don't know what's going to kickstart that next phase.
No, so again, maybe, you know, they just don't need to do anything. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting just to record you and see you playing it.
I may never let videos like that
happen. I'm thinking Star Wars fat guy. Kid video. Anyway.
I'm just going to go away and get bullied now. And we've got finally story to go today.
This is my favourite story for weeks and weeks and weeks.
If there's any little bit of geek in you, in fact, if you like this story, there is definitely a bit of geek in you.
I was going to let you prattle on there.
No, go for it.
So, as a developer in New Zealand has built a bot to automatically buy cheap stuff online. And it started from a comic strip, and we've got the link in the show notes, which is, and he saw the strip and thought, I can do that. So he wrote a Python script that scrapes certain categories, and it uses a New Zealand website, basically similar to eBay. And he's looking for cheap, buy now and with free shipping. So it's only going to be like $2 or $4 or whatever. But it also tries to find rare esoteric items as well. And every day the bot gets a dollar added. And if it doesn't spend, then that just goes into the pot. So next day we'll have $2 to spend. the next day. It's $3 to spend, and then they might buy something. And the best bit about it for me is it's not just like this is happening, but it's also auto. It tweets, a bit like my fantastic scales. It tweets out to say what he's bought or if he's not bought. So if it doesn't find anything, it just simply tweets that it's putting its dollars into savings.
The only thing it's missing is a name and a logo. Honestly, that's all it needs.
And I'm just.
And also, I guess he's going to have to hope that no one ever picks up his code because it's going to have all his details in it.
I'm just looking at it just now. So on the 7th of November, he bought some batteries for $2. And on the 8th, he bought a USB extension cable for $2.
This guy is going to have so much crap in his house.
Well, the thing is, he's got this Twitter feed's got 3,500 followers. And I know when I looked at the story, I think a couple of days ago, he only had 2,000 followers.
I am going to follow this. This is great.
So the link's in the show notes. I'm not going to bother reading out what they are. But that the inner geek in me just loved that story. Just was so, so good. And I'm kind of semi-tempted. Let's see if I got that script. I'd be
quite tempted because like, I think just getting the knock on the door because a new package has arrived is great.
Well, the thing is as well, like part of me would not want to tweet until I'd got it. Just so it was like a total, I wonder what they've ordered me. Oh, it's yeah. Got me some batteries, just what I need. Great.
I think after 365 days of the postman moaning at you for all these crappy parcels, you might start getting a bit tiresome, but I love the idea of it. I love the mashup of it. It's yep. Great. And the fact it clearly works.
Yes.
Okay, so that is our news stories today. We've only got picks to go, and seeing as our picks are
lame
as this week, it's not going to take long. Because basically, I am just bigging up the fact that I will have a pick next week, because I have this week bought a new Logitech C910 HD webcam. So it's kind of the bee's knees of webcam.
Actually, I thought it was a Logitech C910 HD webcam. Woot, as is written in the show notes.
Woot.
I never realised that.
So I'm
you
looking forward
that.
To that arriving. It's and I'm sure I'll talk about it next week. But basically, it's a high def capable, you know, full 1080p capable camera, 10 megapixel stills camera as well, and basically bought it because I can't help myself. There we go.
Last week was Kindle.
That'll be next week. I'll actually give you a rundown of actually.
So last week was a Kindle because you couldn't help yourself. This week was a Logitech.
And maybe even the Kinect.
Next week's the Kinect. And I'm kind of thinking, if I had them up, I'm not far off my MacBook Air that you slagged me off about. Okay, maybe I am.
So I'll have three bits of that.
But 10
that
weeks of
use.
That would get me my
I'll be sat with a Kinect that I never want to use because it's... I can't be bothered.
So my lame-ass pick... We should rename it as Lame Ass Picks.
I think we should, yeah.
It's Call of Duty Black Ops.
That's not so lame ass, but it is.
Well, it depends. So people's viewing Call of Duty is always, I mean, it gets the best sales by far, and it's the most talked about game and all that good stuff. But last year's really hacked me off, because after a week, everybody was just so much better than me. It was just like soul destroying. I don't just mean better either. It was like folk hanging around in shadows and one-shot kills. And you're like, what? Where? How? What? Just yep. But I think it is the game more so than Halo in the 360 that is obsessed about. People will play it for hours to know the maps inside out, understand the weapons inside out, unlock everything, do all that prestige nonsense. So I got Call of Duty Black Ops. Single player game's actually pretty good.
Is it just as on rails as the last one? That was what I didn't like too much.
There are bits that are on rails, and there's bits you feel you can't fail.
Yeah, you're doing bits. It doesn't really matter what you do. Yeah.
And there's a lot of like follow this guy who's got like follow me written above him. So there's a bit of that, but a couple of set pieces. I think I've done the first three or four missions, and there've been a couple of set pieces have actually been bought a bit of a grin to the face. So that's
okay. Good. If you're going to have set pieces, they might as well be good.
Yeah, and the multiplayer, the maps, very, very detailed. I mean, you compare it to like, you know, Halo maps, which are, I think, are very well constructed, but they don't have the level of detail that a Call of Duty map has. You know, just the kind of, you know, just the amount of environment that you've got is still pretty immense. And interestingly, I mean, when I played it last night, I mean, there were some guys already up at, I mean, there was, it already said 1,000 people had prestiged. I mean, there was some crazy.
How does that work?
Well, a prestige means you've basically gone through the, you've ranked up to rank 50 in multiplayer and you start again.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But how have they managed that?
They've
surely that's played not possible.
They've just played for 24 hours, I think.
I can't believe that's possible.
I mean, there was a guy. Well, there was a guy in the first room I went into. Sam ranked at like zero at the time. There's a couple others of zeros. There was some at like fours and fives, and this guy had 32.
And maybe it was a beta tester.
Was it 32 or 35? And at the end of it, my kill death ratio was 0.8. So I killed 8 and died 10 times. That was fairly chuffed. First game, don't know the map. That'll do me. Rubbish weapon. But this guy had 32 kills and one death.
Yes.
And that's always the issue with Call of Duty for me, that if you get in late in the game, it can be very difficult because the first day is just pain. If you don't play it early doors, it is painful. But not very, very, very impressed with the environments. All the weapons are there, and actually, you don't need to wait as long to unlock. If you get a weapon, you can now. There's now a form of like currency in the game, which you earn as you play more, and you can use that to buy sights, etc. So you're not actually waiting to like level 15 to get your red dot sight. All that nonsense.
So you can choose which ones you want.
So you can actually get a weapon and the sights very quickly now.
Which is very important.
So I actually think they've made that side slightly better. And I tried the kind of big team battle equivalent, and that was smart as hell as well. So I'm actually very chuffed with it.
Okay, maybe I will pick it up some. But like I say, if I don't pick it up now, that's going to be too late.
I saw Bernie. Like Bernie picked it up as well, and I've not had a chance to play online with him because he was the day before. He was like, "I'm not going to pick it up," and then I saw the fateful tweet. I've bought Call of Duty. I should just reply with a bah. But no, it seems to hit the spot. So if you're after a first person shooter and you don't like Halo, you'll probably love Call of Duty.
There we go. So that is us for today. You can find out more about us and our podcast at digitaloutbox.com. Email us at info@digitaloutbox.com. We are on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. And if you want to find out more about me, you go to Twitter and it's CheesyUK. And if you want to find out more about Ian,
it's Shweeper on Twitter and IanD.net is the blog.
And that's us done. So thanks for listening and we will speak to you next week.
Goodbye. Don't say bye then. How rude.
Bye. Bye. 10th. We haven't got the right date at all.
I don't. We didn't change that.
You get. I nearly got it right. Okay, I'm not going to stop my recording. I'm just going to carry on.
No, that's fine.
It is Wednesday, the 10th of November, and is it? Oh crap!
It's not going to start. I've got fireworks. Sod off.
You got fireworks outside?
Yeah, yeah.
They're a bit late. They're obviously. Passed out unconscious for the room.
That was my apprentice theme tune.
Bum, 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 bum.
And said it sounded more like Oompa Loompa.